two-way street. You know, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I've hinted to someone that they're a one-way street. You all know what I'm talking about? Well, God is a two-way street. God is a two-way street, and that's what we're going to look at today, two-way street. Well, I can't get too far down. There's a lot of people up there. Hey, hi there. You guys look like you have halos up there. I can't even see your faces. It's so bright behind you. So, hey, here's what Jesus said just a little bit after his ministry. He was baptized, and you guys know this, but we're just going to keep going over it. I think this is foundational to all of the Christian life. It's so important. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then a little bit later, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. See, the reality is so much of the time, so many people believe, I can't live like Jesus lived because I'm not the Son of God. But the reality is we can live as Jesus lived. When we walk in death to self and we're filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus was, it's the Holy Spirit flowing through us because Jesus' miracles in his life was not dependent upon Jesus as the Son of God. It was dependent on the Holy Spirit filling him and the Holy Spirit flowing through him. And so that's why Jesus could say, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then that nice Greek word, oh, I pushed it too hard. I don't know what I'm doing. Honest. Ergo. What does ergo mean? Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he's anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now you guys know this. You should know this by heart. You should know it ad nauseum. Amen. Let's make it personal. So let's please read this together if you mean it. But don't read unless you mean it, okay? Because you're reading. The reality is every time I do this, because I'm bringing it to our attention, it means we're even more accountable. Are you with me? If you didn't know this, you wouldn't be accountable for it. But since I keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up, every time we're a little bit more accountable. So please, if you mean it, read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe that with all of my heart, and I believe with all of my heart that there are people in your lives that need set free. You don't even have to go looking for them. You just have to ask, Holy Spirit, who is it? Holy Spirit, who is it? My brother came up to me last week. He was helping someone, was here a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I've lost track of time, obviously. I don't even know it's Steelers Sunday. I mean, yeah. Super Bowl Sunday. Since it isn't Steelers Sunday, I don't care. So I lose track of time very easily. And he came up to me and he had been ministering to a person and he said, wow, there are such needy people in our town. I had no idea people were so lost and so needy. They are clueless. There are people in your life that are clueless. They are on a train that's destined for HE double hockey sticks and they don't even know it. That's a reality. That's a reality. And that's why we've been given the Holy Spirit to fill us, to empower us, to flow through us. He's not only in us, he wants to flow through us to touch other people. So who do you know that needs set free? And with that in mind, we need to walk in intimacy with God. It is more caught than it is taught. It is more caught than it is taught. If you go out and you just start witnessing and you become one of those God people, people won't listen to you. But when people see a difference in your life, then they'll listen because you've earned the right. They see that there's something different about you. They see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we simply invite others to do the same, to walk in intimacy with us, with him, just as we are. So this morning, actually, there's nothing new this morning. You've heard it all before. Repetition penetrates the mind. Now, I'm not saying you got dull minds, but I clearly do have one because my Greek professor looked right at me and told me that. So we're going to look at God's pursuit of us. God's pursuit of us. Just this week, in the past 2 weeks, I don't know how many people have come to me and talked about this very issue, not directly, but indirectly. God loves you and is in pursuit of you. Genesis 3, 8 through 10, one of my favorite passages of scriptures. Now, you might think it's a myth. I believe it literally happened. I believe the book of Genesis tells us what God did in the beginning. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. It's that simple. Was it a 24-hour period? I believe it. I think it was a day. I think there was 7 days in creation. I believe that. I'm just telling you, that's what I believe. God said it. I believe it. If your God can't create it in 7 days, you got a wimp of a God. I believe God can do anything he wants. I was in a class one time, and they were talking about the children of Israel passing over and all the Egyptians drowning, and it couldn't have been that much water. I wish I had thought of, but someone in the class raised his hand. You know, the teacher was just putting it down. Anyone who believes in that, believes in myths, is just stupid. And who still believes in it after they went in this triad to say it? And the person said, raised their hand, said, yeah, I believe it's a miracle. I believe that the Egyptian drowned in 2 inches of water. You guys are supposed to smile at that. God is God Almighty. He can do anything he wants. He can do anything he wants. Genesis 3, here's what happened. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve was deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing, and he followed her. That chucklehead. If he would have said, hey, that's wrong, I'm not doing that, stop, we'd had a different reality. But he was obviously in love with his precious wife, and he followed her in sin. And then after that happened, this is what happened. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, who was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees. They hid. And so now, but God called out to the man, where are you? Can you imagine that? God is pursuing Adam and Eve. God is pursuing Adam and Eve. The reality is God is still pursuing Adam and Eve. He's pursuing you and he's pursuing me still today. And then Adam says this, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. This is just so important. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. That's still happening today. In the last 2 weeks, at least a dozen people, in one way or another, came to me and said, you know, confess this, confess that. And in reality, this is where they were. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. That's where we are today. That's where humanity is still today. We're putting on all kinds of fig leaves. We're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, you guys look wonderful. No one's got fig leaves on here today, but everyone's got fig leaves on today. I was the only one ornery enough to want to blast them with my pointer. I have fig leaves on too. But the reality is there's no need to fear because Jesus came. Jesus came. God is still in pursuit of you and in pursuit of me. I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. That's why I brought Woodard along to help me out with this. Hopefully he's going to help me with this a little bit later on. Whoops. Woodard. Stay where you belong, boy. I'm going to whoop on you in a minute. Revelation 3:20, you might think, well, Genesis, that's the Old Testament. Well, what's the New Testament say? The scripture is talking, Jesus is talking to the bride of Jesus Christ, his church. And Jesus says this, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in with him and eat with him and he with me. Now, for years, I thought he was talking to non-Christians, people that didn't know. And he's knocking at their heart's door and it was all about salvation. The truth is, no. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the church here. He's talking to us because we are still believing the lie of Satan. I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. People are still hiding. People are still hiding. They're hiding from each other and hiding from God. Jesus, he's there standing, knocking at my heart's door, your heart's door. And if you don't believe it, the most known verse in all the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I'm reading it in King James, I know I'm not following, but whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. eternal life. John 3:16. If you wonder whether I can read or not, it's because I've memorized so much in the King James, and this is all NIV, and I get all confused. I'm not that good of a reader. So, Romans 5:8. Again, there's nothing new here today. There's nothing here new today. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's in pursuit of us. He's still looking for us. Hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys? Out of love, God is pursuing us. Out of love. You know, when I look at the Old Testament, New Testament, and I look at the world today, is the world today screwed and messed up? Anyone believe that? Raise your hand. If you don't, see me afterward. Let me just, I'll help you see a little bit better, because it is so messed up. Why did God even continue to create knowing it would be such a mess? There's only one thing that makes any sense to me, and please tell me if you figured something else out. But the only thing that makes any sense to me, and I've said this before, is he loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me, why he didn't just wipe us all out. Out of love, God is still pursuing us. And is that a big enough but there for you? I modified that this morning. It was smaller. I made it even bigger. And now's where the would it perspective comes in. This is would it. For those of you who don't know, would it is going to be celebrating 60 years in just a little bit here. My dad, so I'm told, I don't remember, my dad went to a used toy store when I was about 6 months old, and he bought Would It at a used toy store for about a quarter. He brought him home. My mother said, "What are you doing with that rag?" Mom wanted to throw him away instantly. Now, he looks nice now. He was gray. He was gray, then he was kind of bluish, and now he's brownish. He's had multiple coats put on him because my aunts recoated him. He's even had surgery just like me, just like someone else I know is going to have. He'll have stitches just like you have stitches. He's been through everything with me. Now, the story goes that I latched on to Would It and never let go. I slept with Would It every night until I got married. And then he's up on this big dresser thing, looking down, making sure everything's okay, you know? And he's still here today. He's my Would It. I know I'm crazy, but he's my Would It, okay? Now, Would It is terrified, because Would It is afraid that when I'm gone, guess what's going to happen to him? Sorry about that, Would It, but you volunteered for this. He's my Would It. You could take up all the offerings you want this morning, and there's not enough money here to buy Would It. But you see, when Would It looks at himself, what does he see? He sees multiple coats, and when he was purchased, he was only worth a quarter. And he stinks. He smells like slobber and. That's why he's got multiple coats, because mom threw him in the washer and dryer and he came out in pieces and my aunt put him back together. You guys have a Would It, don't you? We all had a Would It. I mean, he may not be named Would It, but this is my Would It. Now, is Would It worth anything when he looks at himself? No, he's worth less than nothing. When I'm gone, I'm sure he'll be one of the first things pitched. But while I'm here, he's my Would It. I place infinite value on Would It. I'm sure some kids are going to come up afterward and say, "Hey, can I play with Would It? You want to know what I'm going to say? No. Get your own Would It." No, I might be nice. I don't know. Are you with me? Of intrinsic value, nothing. But I place great worth on him. I was naked. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Every one of us have a problem with the wooded perspective. But God. But God. And for wooded, it's but Jeff. Someone asked me, what's wooded mean? I have no idea. I don't know where he is. I'm still traumatized. When I was like 8 years old and we were on vacation going up to New York, we had a convertible car. My aunt and uncle had a convertible car, and wooded was flying through the air, 95 miles an hour between the cars. I'll forever be impacted by that. You can imagine your wooded that happening to your wooded. I was not a happy camper. See, I place great value on wooded. And it can't even begin to compare. God loves you so much that he puts such great value on you. Even though you can't see that, you may not feel that, but it's the truth. It's why Jesus came and died on the cross. I mean, our songs this morning, our worship this morning, just went right in line with it, did it not? I'm not exactly sure if this will work again right away. It went to sleep. Here's the exercise. Now, right now, before we start the exercise, so that we don't spend the rest of the time someone arguing who goes first, whoever has the closest birthday goes first. Whoever's birthday is closest to today goes first. So here's the exercise. Turn to the person next to you and tell them three things you like about yourself. The first one to go is the person closest birthday to today. All right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and then we're going to switch over. So in the next 30 seconds, don't take your shoes off to count how many months away or anything like that, you know. Closest birthday goes first. Turn to the person next to you and tell that person three things you like about yourself right now. And if you're not beside someone, turn to the person in the row behind you or something like that. And Doug, you're with me. Okay, what do you like about yourself? Okay, now we're going to start over again. Now talk about three things you dislike about yourself. Three things you dislike about yourself, okay? Three things you dislike about yourself. Closest birthday starts. Come on now, talk. Okay, which was easier? Which was easier, things you like or dislike? If you're like me, dislike was a whole lot easier. In fact, I had a hard time choosing just three. Now we're going to watch a short video if modern technology works for us. It's about 6 minutes long. You've seen a portion of this before, and then we're just going to touch base on it.
I'm a forensic artist. Worked for the San Jose Police Department from 1995 to 2011.
I showed up to a place I'd never been, and there was a guy with a drafting board.
We couldn't see them, they couldn't see us.
Tell me about your hair.
I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Tell me about your chin.
It kind of protrudes a little bit, especially when I smile.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
What would be your most prominent feature?
Kind of have a fat, rounder face.
The older I've gotten, the more freckles I've gotten.
I would say I have a pretty big forehead.
Once I get a sketch, I say thank you very much, and then they leave. I don't see them.
All I had been told before the sketch was to get friendly with this other woman, Chloe.
Today I'm gonna ask you some questions about a person you met earlier, and I'm gonna ask you some general questions about their face.
She was thin, so you could see her cheekbones. And her chin, it was a nice, thin chin.
She had nice eyes. They lit up when she spoke.
Cute nose.
She had blue eyes, very nice blue eyes.
So here we are. This is the sketch that you helped me create. And that's a sketch that somebody described of you.
So yeah, that's... She looks closed off and fatter, sadder too. Mm-hmm. The second one looks more open, friendly, and happy.
Mm-hmm. I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts the choices and the friends that we make, the jobs we apply for, how we treat our children. It impacts everything. It couldn't be more critical to your happiness.
Do you think you're more beautiful than you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
We spend a lot of time as women analyzing and trying to fix the things that aren't quite right. And we should spend more time appreciating the things that we do like.
Now, this is not about buying Dove.
I'm a forensic.
This is not about buying Dove. This is not a commercial for Dove. Okay, this is not a commercial for Dove. But ladies and gentlemen, every one of you are stunningly beautiful and handsome. You are. Satan has somehow got into our heads and we have a wooded problem. And he continues, I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. He still uses it today. He still uses it today. He wants to rob us of intimacy with the Father. He wants to rob us of fellowship with others. He wants to rob us of joy. And so, can we potentially replace the wooded perspective with the truth of God's love and God's word? God loves you. If you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, God not only loves you, He delights in you. He actually enjoys spending time with you. He's still pursuing you, even though you might think you're not worth being pursued. And I know that's true of you because so many of you have told me it one way or another. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Ladies, the ladies of the church have a retreat coming up. They're going to be talking about this topic for the weekend. Please prayerfully consider attending it. Because they're going to talk about God's truth and God's word. 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. This is one of the strongholds that Satan has and holds over us. I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. That's one of his greatest weapons. What are our weapons? Scripture, the authority of Jesus in prayer. Let's look at that again. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's not an ugly person in this room. There isn't. God loves you and delights in you. And in response to His love, we pursue Him. It's a two-way street. He pursues us, and then we pursue Him. John 1, 13 and 14. Yet to all who received Him, Jesus, to those who believed in His name, Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When we pray to receive Jesus Christ, we're born again. We're children of God. We're loved and delighted in. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Do we believe that? Are we still believing the old? Do we believe it maybe in our head, but not in our heart? If you know Jesus, you're a new creation. You're loved, you're delighted in. You may think you're what it, but you're priceless. You are priceless. And you look in the mirror and you see what it, and so you believe the lies of the enemy. To what degree do you believe that you are both loved and delighted in by God? Do you really believe it? To what degree do you believe it? What lies of Satan is he trying to get you to believe? And in your bulletin, there is a blue insert. I created this yesterday morning as I got up and was seeking the Lord. Hence, it has errors in it. This has not been Tanya-proofed. This has errors in it. The very little bit that's there, I looked this morning, I'm like, oh my goodness, the grammar is all wrong. Oh well, please ignore the grammar. No one has proofread this to make me look intelligent. This is how intelligent I really am. So full of errors. I am what it, okay? But God loves me and delights in me. Here's just typical. I just identified three things. Fear. Anxious thoughts. Unloved or unlovable. And just put a few scripture verses down. Please, please take this. Answer the questions. And then take the thoughts captive. Take your thoughts captive and replace it with the truth of God's word. Now, I don't want you to become arrogant. And I know that's what my parents, they didn't want me to become arrogant. So they always pointed out the flaws. But those at times were errors of the enemy. My parents never intended that. They never intended that. Because I looked around in the church I grew up in and there were kids that parents, oh, my kids would never do that. And they were snotty brats. I remember one in particular, he'd come hit you and then he'd run behind his mom. Little twerp. We all know those. There's those crazy people out there. And I'm not saying to become like that. I'm saying take captive the lies of Satan. Take captive the lies of Satan and replace it with God's word, the truth of His word. You're both loved and delighted in. You've heard me say this over. Since I've been here, I've been saying it over and over and over again. But I just know, over the last 2 weeks, so many people have said, in essence, I was afraid because I was naked and so I'm hid. No one is naked here. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When the Father looks at me, He sees who? Jesus. But do I truly believe that? Do you truly believe that? You might know it here because you know the scripture, but ask God to bring it down to your heart so that you experience His tremendous peace and His intimacy and that we can stop hiding but walk into His presence with a boldness, knowing that I come in the name and in the authority of Jesus because God not only loves me, He even likes me. That's what Scripture teaches. Please, if you need help with doing it, please use this insert, grammar mistakes and all, okay? And then for your discussion questions. Why is Two-Way Street a good or bad title for today's message? I hope that you talk about it over lunch. In your own words, how have you sensed God pursuing you? I can see how God pursued me. I look back over my life and God is constantly pursuing me. Constantly pursuing me. Share that with each other around the table as you eat lunch. If you participated in Dove's forensic artist experiment, what might you learn about yourself? I bet I could walk up to any lady in this congregation and she'd tell me how ugly she is in one way or another. Ladies, you are stunningly beautiful. You are. Not just in Abba's eyes, you are. But Satan wants you to believe that you're not. So if you were in that experiment, what might you learn about yourself? Do you truly believe you are a creation in Christ? Why or why not? Please give examples. Please, around the table, we can learn from each other. If we start sharing with each other, we're going to discover we all have a what it problem. We all have a what it, right? You may have lost yours by now. I haven't because of my aunts keep putting new coats on him. We all had a what it. We all have a what it perspective. And if we start sharing with each other, I promise you, and if anyone speaks negatively or meanly to someone else, please tell me. I'll come dope slap them for you. Let's let the guard down to those we love. And you're going to discover we all have a wounded problem. We all have a wounded problem. This is a safe place you're loved and delighted in. Please, please. And now we're going to pray, and then we're going to worship through remembering. We're going to worship through communion. Would you look to the Lord in prayer with me? Oh, Father in heaven, please, please, continue to work to break through the would it problem that we have. The lies of the enemy, the lies of the world. We've been so impacted believing that we're unlovable, we're unlikable, and we focus on the flaws and those things. Father, even today, you saw it. We had a hard time coming up with three things that we liked. It was really easy. It was hard what three to choose, which we didn't like. The Holy Spirit, please continue to come and break through the lies. Please, please, may your word have power over the lies that we believe. May it be sharper than any double-edged sword. May it divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. May your word reap a harvest in us. Prepare our hearts for communion, knowing that we can run into your presence because of the finished work, your finished work, Lord Jesus, that we're literally clothed in you, Jesus. We're no longer naked. We're clothed in your righteousness, Jesus. And so we can run into the Father's arms with joy and delight. And Father, I know that some of us have negative images of a father or a mother or parent, please break through even those and reveal yourself to each one of us as our loving father, our loving older brother, and the Holy Spirit, your comforting power. Please break through. Please dispel the lies of the enemy, so that we can walk into your presence. And I pray that communion this morning would be such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful intimate time. May we sense your presence. Father, we're coming out. We were afraid because we were naked, and so we're not hiding. We're coming out, believing that we've been clothed with Jesus, believing that your love is greater even than our sin. That when we confess our sin, you're faithful and just, and you forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All throughout the Old and New Testament, the image of you pursuing us, pursuing humanity. Please break through the lies. Holy Spirit, empower us to say yes to the love of God to an even greater degree than ever before. Please. And please prepare our hearts for communion. A wonderful, wonderful intimacy with you. We look at the Word of God. Jesus, thank you for saying yes. The night in which you were betrayed, you took bread, you blessed it and you broke it, and then you gave it. And then after the meal, you took the cup and said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. This morning, we remember together. We remember your death, your burial, your glorious resurrection, and we look forward to your return because your love is so great, it's so overwhelming. Please meet each one of us here and continue to draw us as only you can. Father, we just take a moment of silent prayer. Holy Spirit, do your work in each of our hearts and lives. In this moment of silence, however you want to reveal yourself, please do so. Even now, Holy Spirit, minister to each one of us as only you can. We wait in your presence. We wait in silence.